was a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it!
Hello, good evening, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe, make sure to give me a follow, and you can follow me on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple. Let's spread awareness of Duchenne muscular dystrophy. This is the international break of this week's interview episode. This evening, I'm joined by my special guest, Matt Stokes, who is the creator and host of Villa on Tour, which is the biggest Aston Villa YouTube fan channel. And like other Aston Villa fans, I've been following Max on his YouTube channel journey from the very beginning, and he always creates very passionate and riveting content. Also, Max is a great voice for the Aston Villa faithful. It's an absolute honour to have the show, Max. How are you?
I'm very well, Chaz. Thank you very much for the kind words, mate. Really, really kind of you. Yeah, delighted to be on. Thank you very much. Looking forward to chatting Villa with you, mate. Looking forward to it.
Because I always thought it fascinating, Max, actually. Look, you're recording your video vlogs. Because obviously for you, it takes a lot of hard work and dedication. And you have to do a lot of hours on video editing. It's just all remarkable.
Absolutely, yeah, it does take a lot. I always say, like, I guess I'm sort of used to it now, sort of getting back from a game, and it's just sort of, okay, you've got to edit now for 3 or 4 hours, or at a European game, you get in, everyone else has gone to the pub to have a few beers, and I've got to get back and edit. But I don't mind it, I absolutely love it. I mean, even... obviously, it helps when we win, and I've got to edit a win, and there's lots of good stuff to edit. But even when we lose, like we often, especially on the away days, we often have a great day beforehand, whether we are at the pub or we've gone to a new city or a new country, whatever it is. I know there's decent stuff that hopefully people will want to watch. So, yeah, it does take a lot of hard work, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I absolutely love it.
So how do you manage to sort of film the best moments? Just to film the whole game, do you?
No, I don't. So, like I said, because I've been doing it for so long now, I sort of know when something's going to happen, you know, in the ground, when you can sort of feel like something's going to happen. Yeah. Like, we're on the attack or there's a counter-attack. Like, you know, when, obviously, people by me stand up the whole game, but when people get off their seat and you can hear all the seats sort of clambering, that's when I sort of press record. But I don't, people, like you said, people might think that I record the whole game or I'm stood there looking through my camera the whole game, but I'm not. I think it's, I get back and I've got all the raw footage that I filmed before I edit it. And there's probably about between 5 and 10 minutes in there, especially when we've lost, there isn't too much content. But no, I just film when I know something's going to happen. Sometimes I'll miss things because sometimes, for example, like John Duran's goal against Everton springs to mind last year, where it literally comes out of the blue and nobody was expecting it. So sometimes I've got to crack on and record quickly, but I don't look through it. I've got it by my chest here. So I'm watching the game like anybody else, but I've got my camera just by my chest here. It's recording. And then if something happens, I'll react to it. But yeah, it's not too much of the game that I film because I don't want that to distract me from enjoying the experience.
It's fascinating. So, Max, then, so how did the idea of the channel start? And when did you start doing it?
So, I started, it's coming up to the 8th anniversary now of Villa on Tour. So, it was September 2017, the second year in the Championship. Yeah. So, we just had that first season of coming 13th mid-table. And obviously it was at the start of that season, the September. And it was just a game against Barnsley away from home where Villa had like a big 5,000 or 6,000 allocation. And I've always been interested in recording, filming, always wanted to be like a cameraman from a young age. So it's always something that's interested me. And I just thought I'd take this knackered old camera that my sister had had, and she didn't want anymore. I thought I'd take that to the game against Barnsley. And it wasn't in the view of, oh, I really want to create a YouTube channel, or I really want to create a fan channel, because back then there wasn't too many fan channels. Like 2017, it was fairly quiet on the YouTube space. There were a couple, like the Villa View was sort of thriving around that time. Yeah. But in terms of the Villa space and on YouTube specifically, there wasn't too much going on. So it wasn't, I want to start a YouTube channel, I want to become the biggest fan channel or anything like that. It was purely just for me. And I want to just create memories on my camera and edit it and put it on my YouTube channel. And it was just for my personal use, really, and to show my mates. So the way it's gone it kind of came out of nowhere, essentially. But now it's doing pretty well. Yeah. I'm happy, and I never thought it would go this way, to be honest.
It's amazing. Like, I've seen you've been doing the channel. Over that time, Aston Villa have changed over the years. So you see very low points. And you see like high points as well. Yeah. Do you think from Rotherham away to saying PSG at home?
It's mad. Yeah, that is crazy. When you say it like that, it is mad, isn't it? And I always say to people, like, it's kind of crazy how the channel's gone on that sort of journey, like you said, with the Villa as well. Like, I started in the Championship, the first two seasons on Villa on Tour were the Championship, and then we had...
Well, they were dark times.
They really were. There's been some dreadful, dreadful videos on my channel. The ones that spring to mind, do you remember Wigan away 3-0 in January 2019?
Yeah.
The season that we got promoted, but there were some dark times even in that season as well. So it is weird how we sort of covered the really low times of Aston Villa and then, like you said, to the Champions League, which is crazy. But I like that. I'd rather that than support a team where there's never much jeopardy, because it makes the highs and hearing that Champions League music and creating content, going to watch Champions League games in Europe, it makes that feel so much more special, because very recently you've seen some really, really dreadful times. So I think that's why, as Villa fans and fans who are able to get to the games, it makes it that much more special. So it is really, really special.
Well, hopefully we don't go back to those times.
Fingers crossed. Not anytime soon anyway, mate. Fingers crossed.
That's it. We're going to be positive, hopefully. Things will get better. We're going to trust the process.
Exactly. The Villa way, isn't it? It's the Villa way. We'll have highs and lows.
I wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
Exactly. It makes it better, doesn't it? Having those low points makes it better.
So when you started the channel, did you expect it to take off?
Not really at all. No, like I said, it was sort of just for my mates, and like the very first few months, my face wasn't on it. I wasn't presenting anything, or it wasn't here I am going to the game. It was literally here's what the stadium looks like, and here's the action on the pitch, and here's the celebrations. That's what it was all about. As it's sort of progressed over time, it's like there's been characters that have come and gone on the channel. Like, people have got their own sort of personalities and characteristics and things like that. So it's more about a football fan's experience of going to the game now, rather than when it first started all those years ago. It's more just about the game. So I think that's what people want to relate to. A group of mates who go to the football are fairly balanced. We don't get too high with the highs, or we don't get too low with the lows. I like to think that we're fairly reasonably balanced, which is not always common on fan channels. I think sometimes people like to go over the top just because that's the nature of the beast on YouTube and it gets the most interactions. But we like to keep it real and keep it authentic, which I think is the most important thing. But no, I didn't expect it to take off. But because imagine if we were still in the Championship 8 years on, and I started it in the Championship, and 8 years on, we were still there. I don't think it would have done as well as it has. Agree. So I'm very glad that Villa have gotten the Champions League. It's helped me massively with the channel.
Also, like, you've inspired me, to be honest, starting my own channel. I could do something like this.
Yeah.
I can.
Exactly, mate. I love that. Fair play. See, how long have you been doing it, Chad?
I've been doing it for 2.5 years.
Wow. Do you enjoy it?
Yeah. It keeps me motivated. It gives me sort of like a purpose.
Yeah, I love that. That it kind of feels like with Villa on Tour, it's kind of like my baby in a way. Like it's my thing. Like having something that you've created. It's proud. It makes me proud, and I imagine you feel the same way.
Yeah. There's also like you and Dan Bardell. You were the first of all that contest. But also I've had Dan on the channel a few times.
Mm.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah, and creating content and going to the Villa, that's the best way to make friends, I think, as well. I think, like you said, with Dan, he's a fantastic bloke, and he's one of my best friends now. Like that's how close we've got. And I don't have many friends now that I haven't met through Villa. I think that's why it's so special. And sometimes people who aren't the biggest football fans or anything like that, they might not understand it, or oh, you're just going, why on earth do you want to go to Newcastle on a weeknight to watch your team when you're not very good? But that's not what it's about. It's about those relationships that you create and people that you share those memories with. That's what it's all about, realistically.
Well, I've made a lot of friends over the years.
Exactly.
As well, which is nice.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. During that journey, you're making memories.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. I think it's that sense of community, isn't it? It's that sense of community. You've got that sort of routine week in, week out of going to the football. Yep. No matter where you might be, you'll be there. And it's fantastic. Rain or shine, it's that sort of community feel, isn't it? And I wouldn't have it any other way. It's the best hobby in the world, I always say.
I was going to say, Max, like, what tips would you give to somebody starting their own YouTube channel? What sort of advice would you give them?
I think you've just got to be yourself. I think you've got to have a little bit of personality or a niche to it. And I think people enjoy authenticity, and people can sometimes see through fake reactions or things like that. So I think definitely being yourself and just being consistent as well. Like I've been doing it for 8 years now. And when you put it like that, that's a third of my life. Like that's a long time. You've just got to stick with it. Things don't just take off immediately, or they can, but it's extremely rare. So I think just being consistent in terms of uploading pretty consistently, and I think that's why creating content in the football space helps, because you've got that already set out routine calendar, haven't you, with the games and stuff. So that definitely helps in terms of keeping consistent. Being consistent, being authentic, and just making sure you enjoy it. I don't think making content because you think it will do well, people will see through that. So I think definitely making sure you enjoy it. And when you press post on a podcast or whatever it might be, just making sure you're proud of it. Definitely, that's the three things I'd say.
Yeah, that's what I think on my channel. To try and make myself stand out. You're also not a football. Let's bring awareness of a condition. So I sort of combine the two together. It's a bit different. Wants to be a bit different with it.
Fantastic. Yeah, good on you, mate. Good on you. And I think there's quite a lot of Villa channels now, isn't there? So it's I guess now it's quite hard to sort of get a niche potentially or get regular viewers. But I mean, fair play. Everybody's got an audience, I think, and just making friends through. And we've got our own little community, haven't we? So it is really, really good, and it's a really great thing.
Of course, with YouTube as well. The algorithm's always changing all the time.
Yeah, it is. And I think there's so much to think about in terms of what thumbnail would work best, or what title would work best, or what do I have to put in the description, or what links do I have to put? There's so much to think about, and like what a thumbnail might look like. No matter how good your video is, if the thumbnail isn't perfect or if the title is slightly off, the algorithm is so dependent on that sort of thing. So there's got to be an element of luck to it as well. But yeah, there's so much to think about. And I think especially in the football space, it's very time dependent as well. It's not like I'm creating a piece of content like it's a travel vlog or whatever it might be that's not related to football. You can post that whenever and it's sort of timeless content. But I think with football stuff, it's got to go out ASAP. It's got to go out really quick, because give it a day or two and people will lose interest. Like say if we win on a Saturday, it's got to go out on that Saturday night or latest Sunday morning. That's how the sort of pressure I put myself anyway, because you get into the working week on a Monday and whatever happens throughout that week, people will lose interest. So it's a lot of pressure, a lot of hard work, a lot of hours go into creating content, but I love it, and I'm sure you do too. It's great, isn't it?
So, Max, so you travel home and away to watch your team, but what is your favourite away day? And what is your favourite stadium? Not including Villa Park.
Oh, not including Villa Park. Okay. There's so many away days to pick from. I think even from the sort of championship days, although it wasn't the peak of the Premier League or the Champions League, there were still some great days there. Yeah. Like, I think back to my first ever video at Barnsley away, 3-0 away from home, and that's when you got them like massive allocations and there was 6 or 7,000 Villa fans there. That was a great sort of time for those sort of away days. But then looking more recently, I think the one that sticks out, I'll give a Premier League one, Arsenal away, the 2-0 in the season that we came fourth in that third kit, because it was... Well, I think we were fantastic that day. We were really, really good. Obviously, Arsenal were going for the title. I think it was in April sort of time, so there was big pressure on them. And we rocked up in really, really good form, Villa. I think it was around that sort of Lille time in the Europa League as well. So it was a congested
it's
time.
It's good to know Emery, that's it, because he did it for his old club.
Yeah, exactly. I bet he loved it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I remember... At Arsenal, obviously, we're in the corner as away fans, and then sort of the middle tier of the Emirates is like Arsenal, like corporate fans. So it was great fun at the end of that day to sort of wind them up, because it was kind of great for Villa because we were going for top four, but then it was Arsenal realising that, okay, the title's sort of gone there. And for it to be two late goals from Leon Bailey with a great finish on his right foot, and then Ollie Watkins on the counter-attack with what an unbelievable chipped finish. That is... In recent times, that's one of my favourite away days. You can't beat a London away day. They are really, really good. Getting the train down, getting the tube to the ground. I think Emery had a decent record in London until recently with Brentford and various Crystal Palace trips. But yeah, normally enjoy a day out in London.
I've been to a few away games over the years. I mean, I don't get to go as many because due to a condition and stuff. But the ones that I've been to, I've enjoyed. Stamford Bridge because of the atmosphere. I enjoyed the one in West Bromwich Albion in 2019.
Oh, wow.
All sitting behind the goal where Jed Stair signed that penalty.
Wow. Yeah, that's one of my favourite memories as a Villa fan that day. Do you remember how hot it was as well? It was a really hot night, wasn't it?
It was a really hot day.
It just felt like that game went on forever and ever because it obviously went to extra time. And I think that was the first time I've ever watched Villa in extra time. Since then, we've had that Lille game in the Conference League, which again was proper stressful. But because
was going to be losing on aggregate or something.
Yeah, so we would...
Was it? We were losing 1-0 or something. That was it. Yeah.
So there was just jeopardy all over the shop. But yeah, you asked about stadiums, didn't you? But yeah, I think... I like Arsenal Stadium. I really, really like it. I don't like the sort of normal bowl sort of situation. You know, when a club gets a new stadium these days and it's sort of like really soulless bowl, like West Ham Stadium gets a lot of grief, doesn't it? But after Arsenal, I like grounds with character, any form of character. Goodison Park, absolutely unbelievable. I was gutted that's gone.
Hey, Max, are you going to the new Everton Stadium?
I am indeed.
Jill Dickinson, are you going?
Absolutely. And I can't wait. It's it's a good problem to have, but it's quite rare that I have a new stadium these days, especially in the Premier League. So I can't wait to get to the Hill Dickinson. It's going to be fantastic. I love a new stadium.
They did a real good job of it. They did a great job of it.
It does look good. Yeah, the few clips I've seen so far, it does look good. Like, teams often make mistakes with new stadiums these days, and it doesn't quite hold that atmosphere, but I think Everton have done a good job. So I'm going to be interested to try that out firsthand in a couple of weeks.
You're looking at Everton with David Moyes. They're going to make that place a fortress.
Definitely.
Hopefully not after the international break.
Fingers crossed. We've got a good record against Everton, haven't we? So fingers crossed that continues.
Yes, fingers crossed. Also, we're on at Wembley Stadium, but only when you're on the winning side, not at Crystal Palace.
Yeah, it's quite rare that we're on the winning side at Wembley recently. I think I've been there a few times with Villa. The FA Cup final 2015, we lost 4-0 to Arsenal. Dreadful.
Yeah, it was there.
The Carabao Cup final 2020 against Man City, not good.
Yeah.
Who else we had? Obviously the Palace. We had the playoff, the playoff finals, didn't we, against Fulham? That wasn't great. The Derby Day against Derby.
We got there, beat on brilliant.
Yeah, the best days of my life. Yeah, absolutely. Because it's the closest thing that me and you, have sort of younger Villa fans, have come to seeing us win a trophy, isn't it? So I don't think it's not quite like us winning an actual major trophy, like an FA Cup or a League Cup or a Europa League, but it's the closest we've come. Yeah. So maybe one day, Chad, we'll see us actually lift a trophy. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
It'd be nice, Jing. It's been like almost 30 years.
Yeah, 30 years is a long time. It's a long time. It is. That'll be perfect, wouldn't it? Because it gets us back in the Champions League as well. It's like a double header. Champions League, trophy, put to bed that 30-year drought. Happy days. Fingers crossed we can get that done.
So I'm going to ask you the next question, eh? So what is it not the experience like travelling around Europe, watching Aston Villa, including the Conference League, and obviously Champions League last season?
It's the best thing in the world. It's absolutely the best thing in the world. From, like, on Saturday, all the dates came out of the Europa League fixtures, and me and Simon were straight on Skyscanner booking flights. We were booking hotels, and we booked, I think, 8 flights in the space of about 20 minutes because we didn't want the price to go up. So straight from doing that and doing all the admin of booking 2-star hotels because they're the cheapest and you want to save a little bit of money, to having to get up at 2 a.m. to drive to Stansted. Like, there's so much around the game that you've got to do, and then getting to a brand new city or a brand new country. Honestly, I've basically traveled the world through Villa now. Like, it's the best thing ever. Like, I haven't got to decide, where do I go on holiday? Do I go here or do I go here? I just follow Villa, and wherever they go, I end up. And it's absolutely brilliant. Like, discovering a new city that you wouldn't necessarily choose to go to on holiday.
There's different cultures.
Exactly. Also,
different cities, the food.
And speaking to the football culture. And speaking to home fans as well. Like, normally when we go away, it's quite rare that it's like toxic and there's animosity between home and away supporters. And I think Villa fans are really well behaved as well when we go abroad. I think English fans often have a reputation for being troublemakers or causing problems or launching chairs through cafes or ridiculous things like that. But I think when I've been following Villa in Europe for the last 2 years, coming on to 3 years now, there's been no trouble at all. Villa fans just get together, where is everyone? Let's head to that pub and just have a good sing-song and enjoy ourselves.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's great. It is really, really good. Just being somewhere totally new and random, but just being surrounded by Villa fans, it's just absolutely brilliant. And I just want us to be in Europe for as long as we possibly can be now, because it's brilliant. I couldn't imagine a Villa season now without Europe, because I just love these really like quick 2 or 3 day trips all over the place. It's the best. I wouldn't change it for anything.
That's the fans. You want memories.
That's where you hold on to them. Exactly. That's where you create the best memories, to be honest. Like the abroad trips, because it's not just over a day, like an away day. Obviously, you create great memories there as well, but it's less about the game. It's about what did you do the night before the match, or what did you do after the match, or what did you do the following day after the match? Did you do for example, in Germany for Leipzig, we did a stadium tour of the Olympic Stadium in Berlin during that trip as well, or when we have Basel in December in the Europa League coming up, we're going to go to Freiburg in Germany because it's only an hour away. Like, you get to see so many other places as well.
Did you go to PSG, man?
Did indeed. That was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, I saw people talking about it today on Twitter, that sort of 5 minutes when we were 1-0 up. It was like the best. Like, just because it was just pure disbelief in that away end that everybody was talking about this PSG super team. And obviously, they went on to win the Champions League. They are quite good. So for us to go 1-0 up there and run them so close at home as well, it was an experience.
You went to the home leg. I remember, like, we were so close. I mean, when I came out that stadium, I was very proud.
Absolutely. I think lots of people were saying that, weren't they? And we could have gone on to win it. We had the Asensio one-on-one chance. Konsa had a header. Mattsson last minute. So who knows? If one of them went in, we could have been Champions League winners. Who knows?
Just in Austin, Bayern Munich. John Jerome winner.
That was amazing. That was absolutely unbelievable, wasn't it? I think that's one of my best best memories of Villa at Villa Park, definitely. We've got so many great memories away from home. But I think people just take for granted sometimes, like going to Villa Park, because it's just, it's so easy for me. It's only around the corner. Like the away days, obviously, are special. But to create a memory like that, beaten by Munich 1-0, just the same scoreline as in 1982. I remember being on the bus after that game and just thinking, like, that's one of the best things I've ever seen. Like, I'm going to remember that forever. And
I think it's meant to be.
Yeah, absolutely, definitely. And I think when that draw got made, Aston Villa have got Bayern Munich at home, 1-0 written all over it.
I was going to ask you, Max, actually. What's the reason why you supported Aston Villa?
It's kind of unique, because I think most Villa fans will say, oh, it's my dad, or oh, it's my mom, or it's a family link. And for me, it is a family link as well, but it's not like I got taken to Villa Park from the age of like 3 or 4, like I guess a lot of Villa fans do these days. It's my nan was, it's kind of strange really, because my nan's dad used to take her to Blues games. And she's always a bit of a wind-up merchant. So she thought, oh, sod this. I'm going to go and support the other team in the city, Aston Villa, just to wind her dad up. So ever since then, my nan was a Villa fan. She watched Pele at Villa Park for Santos in the 70s. And she wasn't like a mad Villa fan going home and away or anything like that. But she was a Villa fan. And obviously she had my dad, who, again, isn't a massive Villa fan. He never went to games. He went to a couple. But ever since I started showing interest in Aston Villa when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and everybody in my school was football fans, and they supported Man United or Chelsea or Arsenal, it was always going to be Villa because of the family thing. So although I didn't go to games from a really, really young age, I got a season ticket when my parents basically let me go on my own when I was like 14, 15, and that was in the Championship. And then 1 or 2 years later, that's when I started Villa on tour. So essentially it came from my nan and then through my dad. But yeah, that's why I'm a Villa fan. It was never going to be anybody else.
Because they say it chooses you.
Exactly. There you go. Somehow, somewhere, or by whatever method, it chooses you, doesn't it?
It's because of my mum that I supported Aston Villa.
Nice. That's unreal. It's always like a family thing, isn't it? I guess with Villa, it's never going to be like glory hunting. Like a lot of people in my school, and I guess it's schools all over the place, people support Man United, Arsenal, just because they're good. But that's boring. Like we said earlier, it's that jeopardy, isn't it, of supporting a team when they're rubbish, and then that makes the good times even better.
Did you live quite close by to Villa Park?
Yeah, so I live South Birmingham, so all of my family are sort of South Birmingham, which I guess is... It's a mix of Villa and Blues. I think north side of Birmingham, obviously, because of where Villa Park is, that's mostly Villa. You'll get Blues fans and Villa fans everywhere, but south of the city it's more of a mix. Obviously you go west, you got West Brom involved, Wolves if you go that far. But yeah, it's a mix where I live, but I live like 20 minutes on the train to Aston. So that's how I get to games. I'll get the train direct to Aston, nice and easy.
I live in Tamworth. It's definitely worth the journey.
Absolutely.
I've seen to get older. For 18 years I have.
Wow. It's longer than me. Fair play. I bet you've seen all sorts, haven't you? The lows and the highs. You've seen everything.
Oh, yeah. You're the Martin era.
Oh, wow.
We sort of started properly then.
That was a good era. That was a decent era. It kind of started off well for you then. And then it went, and then we got relegated. And now we're on the way back up. So could have been worse.
Well, I always sit in the Trinity Road, I do.
The
Trinity. Oh, very good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a ton of this. I always sit left of it.
Yeah, because I sat in the Trinity, like when we've had a cup game or a couple of the Champions League games, or obviously when I go and watch the women's team, I'll sit in the Trinity, and it's a cracking view, really, really decent view. I just like to sit where I sit in the Holt, just because it's nice and noisy, and I like to sing
songs. I'm at the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's it, and it's safe standing
you're a very noisy bunch.
Yeah, the noisy boys. That's what my girlfriend's dad calls us, the noisy boys. But yeah, it is good up there. To be fair, when the atmosphere is good for a big game, there's nowhere better to be than in the Holt End.
Nothing. I think what about the content creators? Do you see the whole touch of it?
Yeah. It's such a massive stand, isn't it? Like, it's one of the grandest in England. And I think up until, I might have got this wrong, but I think up until Tottenham's stadium or Everton's new one, I think Villa had one of the biggest behind the goal stands in England. I think it's one of the, obviously Tottenham's wraps round, doesn't it, in the corner? So yeah. I think Villa might still hold it, but the biggest single stand behind a goal in England. It's got to be up there, though. I think it's about 13,000, isn't it? And that's like the capacity of Bournemouth's whole stadium, for example.
To 50,000?
Yeah,
50,000 soon.
That's exciting. The North Stand's going to be similar to the Holt End, isn't it? So it's going to be brilliant either side of Villa Park.
Just going to talk about pre-season tours. So what was it like going on pre-season tours abroad? Did you enjoy the experience, especially in America?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's slightly different now because we are used to Villa being in Europe. But sort of before then, when Villa weren't in Europe, the pre-season trips, because that was your only sort of chance to go and watch Villa abroad, they were absolutely brilliant. I remember Leipzig away 2019. That's just when we got promoted. So Leipzig was just fantastic. I think they were obviously flying at the time in the Champions League, and Villa only just getting promoted to go and watch us over there in Germany. That's the one that stands out to me, which was quite nice when we got Leipzig again in the Champions League to go back there. Any excuse to go to watch Villa in Germany, it's brilliant because there's no pressure on the preseason games. Like, there's, oh my God, you haven't got to get three points in the Champions League to get top eight or anything like that. It's literally just a trip to somewhere a bit random sometimes, like Leipzig. I'd never been there before. This season, we had Rostock in Germany, which, again, you're never really going to go on
holiday
there.
Did you go to Nashville?
I didn't go this year, unfortunately. I've got no annual leave left following Villa in Europe. It's hard. but I went to America a couple of years ago in 2023. That was fantastic.
Was that summer series?
Yes, that's it. So we came up against three other Premier League clubs, Fulham, Brentford, and Newcastle. So it was some of the stadiums, mate, were absolutely unbelievable. Like, I think a couple of them potentially were NFL stadiums.
That's it, American football, that's it, yeah.
Yeah. Some of the stadiums over there are absolutely nuts. Like, they're just enormous, and they're different to English football stadiums, traditional English football stadiums, because like English ones are quite tightly packed in. You think of Villa Park, there's houses all over the shop. Whereas in America, because they've got so much space over there, it's just huge, huge car parks all around. And it was just experiencing that different culture. Like, even when you go to Europe, it's the same sort of culture in a way. They are different, but not quite as different as going over to America and watching football. And there's Villa fans everywhere. That's what makes the trip. Just speaking to Villa fans from America and hearing their stories about me and you. It's like,
Austin Villa, you know, the fan clubs. Including like the California Lions.
Yeah.
They talk to me and stuff.
Yeah. There's just Villa fans everywhere, isn't there? And hearing their stories, like me and you, it's family links, isn't it? But I guess their side, they're going to have obviously, there can still be family links, like their parents used to live in England or live in Birmingham, but often it's slightly different. So just hearing their perspective on why they support Villa and how they support Villa, waking up at silly times to watch us because the time differences and things like that America trip and making so many memories over there and flying between New York and Orlando and Washington and doing a bit of sightseeing at the same time as well. Well, that was the first time I'd been to America, and to go to New York and do all the sightseeing there, as well as following the Villa and watching the games over there, it was really, really good. And it's one of my favorite trips ever.
Because I think in America, you'll do it on a big scale over there.
Yeah, they're nutters, aren't they? And like the food and everything over there, it's incredible. But yeah, it was an experience, that was.
Well, I'm lucky enough to go to America a few times. I've been to Florida a couple of times.
Oh, nice.
And I've been to New York before.
Lovely. I loved New York. New York was brilliant. And we had a game in Orlando, and it got delayed for an hour and a half because of the weather. It was absolutely incredible. Like, there was thunderstorms that came out of nowhere. We were stood in the concourse waiting for updates because it was like, the game's been postponed. And we walked outside into the ground, and the thunder and the rain was just coming down. So we thought, we've come all the way to America here, and the game might get postponed. But luckily, it did start eventually, just 2 hours later.
So what is your best Aston Villa memory?
Ooh, there's loads to choose from now. I always go back to one though, and it's slightly obscure, and it's a game that we've already spoken about. It was that West Brom game in the Championship playoff semi-final. Yeah. It's like, I know since then we've come fourth in the Premier League, and we've played in Europe twice, we've played in the Champions League, and obviously unbelievable memories there.
It could have been so different.
We might not have played in the Champions League if it wasn't for that night in West Brom. Like, obviously, we were 2-1 up from the first leg, which was a brilliant memory as well. What a day that was at Villa Park. And the second leg, obviously, they scored. It was 1-0 to them, yeah. So it was 2-2 on aggregate. And like we've already spoken about, it was so hot. It was so muggy. It was such a feisty game as well. And West Brom's atmosphere was really, really good that night. Fair play to them.
Was they sending off?
Yeah, there was. It was Chris Brunt. Yeah, he got sent off. So that's when it kind of shifted, because it was all West Brom. To be totally fair to them, it was all West Brom. So they went down to 10. They took all their penalty takers off as well. So going into the penalty shootout, no matter how nervous I was, I can say it now, I always had a feeling that we'd win. Although Albert Adoma missed that penalty, just the celebrations afterwards were just absolutely fantastic. And I remember just the emotions getting the better of me, because it had been such a long night, and I wasn't used to games being two plus hours. I was just emotionally drained, and I was just crying after the game, and it was all the players coming over and dancing, and the pyros, and Dean Smith. I can still picture it now, and there's a brilliant photo of it. Dean Smith putting his finger up to the away end and saying, "One more, one more," and it was the playoff final, which we won. And that's why Villa under Dean Smith are some of my most favourite memories. Dean Smith being the manager.
We have to give him a lot of credit.
Absolutely, yeah. The bloke's a legend. The bloke's an absolute legend, and I think it's quite rare, isn't it, for a manager to leave Villa but still be loved by the fan base. I absolutely love Dino, and he always references Villa, doesn't he? Like, he's obviously managing in America now, but I always see clips of him talking about Villa and saying up the Villa on various like social media clips and stuff like that. The bloke's an absolute legend, local lad, took us back up to the Premier League. What a guy!
Does it? And also, you know, Emery, then he took us up next level. But Dean Smith, he got us to the Premier League. He sort of put everything in place.
Absolutely spot on. You can have the biggest house in the world, but if you have rubbish foundations, it will just crumble. So Dino, terrible analogy that, but you know what I mean. Dino was the foundations, and then Emery was the sort of catalyst to taking us to that next level. But yeah, Dean Smith is an absolute legend.
So we're gonna. So what is the best guy? So you can pick home. Oh, I think you chose an away. You're the best guy at home, maybe.
It's got to be a recent one. I think that Man City 1-0 when Leon Bailey scored, that was a brilliant night, because that was when Man City was sort of at the peak of their powers. I know they were missing Rodri, but they were still an unbelievable side at the time, and they were in incredible form going into it. But that night, it always sort of felt like Villa were going to win this game. Sometimes with Villa, you can tell within 5 minutes of the game, good or bad, you know how this is going to go. Like, for example, at Brentford away recently, a couple of weeks ago, you sort of know that it's not going to be our day. But that night at Villa Park against Man City, you knew we're going to win this game. No matter how we do it, we're going to win this game. And it came via a deflection, but we could have won 5-0 that night. And loads of stats came out after the game about Pep Guardiola's never faced this many shots in a game before, or he's never been dominated this much by an opposition manager. So that's definitely up there. But I think the one that's got to take is another game that we've already spoken about, that Bayern Munich game in the Champions League. And just hearing that music, it being against Bayern Munich, the same scoreline.
It gives you the goosebumps.
It really does. It really does. And I think that's what's great about Villa on tour. You can go back and just relive it if you want to. It's that easy to do. But hearing the music, and I think John Duran gets a bit of disrespect from Villa fans now, but I'll always, no matter how silly he's acted, I'll always appreciate that goal. It was a moment of magic, wasn't it?
I do miss John Duran.
I do miss having a bit of a wild card, a bit of a nutter. I love that. I know, obviously, behind the scenes, he probably wasn't a great character to have around the place, but to have the sort of ability to bring somebody on off the bench who was you just don't know what you're going to get. Is he going to shoot from 30 yards? Who's he going to elbow in the face? What's he going to do next? It was interesting. He scored quite a few massive goals for Villa in the first half of last season, so he maybe shouldn't get loads.
Sort of chaotic.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes that's what you need, because I think sometimes Villa are quite predictable and pedestrian, but definitely to have someone chaotic like that can be beneficial.
For me, I think I've often been confused, but also the PSG guy.
Yes.
I think a lot of it's already, but I was actually believing. Could we actually pull this back?
Yeah,
you can sort of feel it in the stadium. You just said that Liam Mattson, you know, that cleared off the line.
Yeah. Do you remember how you felt when Konsa scored as well? Because it was
it's amazing, incredible.
Yeah, it was. It was amazing. Like, I think, because obviously they went 2-0 up quite early on, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yep.
Like, okay, we had the pre-match, and we had sort of 5 minutes at the start of being like cheering every tackle like it was a goal. But as soon as they go 2-0 up on the night, it's like, okay, sort of gone now. But then we get one, and it's like, okay, that's nice to have. You get two, and it's like, okay, what could we do here? And then Konsa scored, and it's like, oh my God, like it's on. And that was still early on in the game as well. Like, we still had half an hour plus to go. So we've already spoken about the chances we missed. Who knows on another night, mate?
It was emotional.
It really was, yeah. The emotions were high, and that always makes it an interesting watch at Villa Park, yeah. What a night. I still remember it fondly, I do. It's not like it was a truly disappointing night. You've already used the word already, proud. That's how I think most people were coming out of that game feeling, weren't they?
Yeah, with Unai Emery's first game in charge.
Yes, yes, that was a brilliant one.
Man United.
Yeah, it had been was it 27 years since we'd beaten them? Yeah, something like that. It's the first time I've ever seen us beat Man United at home. So yeah, to do that in his first game, that was good.
Just sort of instant impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And because it had been so dross before that with Steven Gerrard, it was nice to have a bit of a lift. That's an underrated one, actually. That's a really good shout.
So, I'll ask you the next question then. So, do you have any future plans for the channel?
Sort of just keep doing what I'm doing, to be honest. I think because I've got like a nice routine now in terms of, I know people who are subscribed to the channel, they know when content's going to come. They know that I'm at 99% of games. They know that something's going to come out after every game. I've got that routine now. And I think because there's so many good Villa fan channels out there that do the pre-match stuff, the post-match stuff, the in-the-week sort of podcasty stuff that I don't do, I think it kind of complements it well. And I wouldn't want to... It's not really my thing to talk about games for an hour. I mean, we did do the Villa on Tour podcast for a bit. But again, that was just more talking about our experiences following Villa away from home rather than the actual football. I'll leave that to other channels like yourself to sort of talk about that sort of stuff. But just continue doing what I'm doing. My plans aren't changing at the moment. Who knows when kids probably come along and stuff, and it's slightly hard to go to away games. But right now, mate, it's just keep going to as many games as I can and just creating memories online. That's what it's all about for me. So yeah, no plans to change at the moment.
Always for the other way. I always watch your stuff. I'm a big fan.
Appreciate that, mate. I appreciate it. How long have you been watching it? Were you there like in the championship days, or is it more recent?
Oh, yeah. Yours was the first I ever watched.
Wow, that's amazing. I think it's quite nice how we've all sort of grown up as well. Like we were like a little bit cheeky back in the day, like 17, 18 year olds having a couple too many beers back in the day. I think now we're sort of matured a little bit, and it's sort of taken that different. I mean, obviously we still like to have a couple of drinks and stuff when we go away from home, but it's sort of matured over the years as well. So it's nice how the channel sort of developed naturally without me like trying to force things as well. So who knows, 5 years down the line we'll see where we're at. Hopefully we'll have won something by then. That's like the cherry on top of the cake at the moment in terms of creating a memory on the channel.
The podcast we've done, Robinson and all the guys.
Yeah, and that's what's great. It's collaboration, isn't it, in the Villa space? Like what we're doing now, just that sort of collaboration is fantastic. And meeting people, speaking to people. I'll speak to anyone about Villa. Like I said, on the American trips, just these people, you've never met them. Spark a conversation, talk about Villa. That's what it's all about, and that collaboration's great.
Well, I'm going to my last question. So what have you made of Aston Villa start the season? And what is your thoughts on the transfer window overall?
Start of the season's not been great, has it? It's not been great at all. But I think we've had a Nah, not good enough. And we've had a lift with the transfer deadline day deals. That was really encouraging. I thought we'd always bring a couple in because we sort of had to. But I'm pretty encouraged with what we did on deadline day. There's unknowns there. I think with Sancho, who knows what Sancho you're going to get? He's had a go at Man United. He's had a go at Chelsea. Not really ripped up any trees. I think it was always going to be quite hard to do at Chelsea because they've got about 155 wingers. So it's always going to be hard for him to get in the side and consistently get a run of games. But he's going to be an interesting one. And it's up to him, really, Jadon Sancho, what he wants to do with his career because he's 25 now. It's a World Cup year. You've got a manager in Unai Emery who wants you. It's up to you, really. Harvey Elliott, I think, is a really exciting one.
I think he is.
Yeah, definitely. Really, really excited by him. He's young as well, 22, played a lot of football already at that young age, can play anywhere really behind the striker. So really excited by that. Lindelof's a bit of a, not underwhelming, but sort of, it kind of had to
he's
be done.
He's got experience, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Although he played in a couple of horrible Man United teams, he was there for a long time and played a lot of football. He's played in Europe, and I think he's a similar sort of vibe to Longley when we got him in. It wasn't like, oh, wow, Clement Longley, a flashy centre-back signing. But to be fair, he did a job and then he went. So I don't mind it at all. But I think we'll forget the first three games of the season and we'll start again, hopefully, at Everton away. And with the new signings, a bit of an injection of fresh impetus. And now we know that the transfer window is closed.
Well, I think we're lacking creativity.
Yeah.
I think he'll give you that.
Yeah, definitely. We've got options now, haven't we, in that sort of forward line to try and create something because we haven't scored a goal yet. So let's hope we score a couple at Everton and it will kickstart our season. But it's nice to have that certainty that the transfer window is closed. You haven't got to think about Martinez is going, who's going, who's staying. Are we going to sign anyone?
The window has been about that.
Yeah.
I think we've built it the wrong way, I think.
Yeah, and that wouldn't have made anybody particularly happy at the training ground, whether it's the other players or it's Unai Emery. So it's that certainty, right? This is the group we've got now until at least January. Let's crack on, work hard on the training ground and then go again at Everton and hopefully we can score some goals and win some football matches.
You're need some fresh ideas because the last guy against Crystal Palace, you saw in Crystal Palace, we're giving them too much time and space for the ball. There wasn't really enough intensity going on.
Yeah, spot on. It was quite. It's been quite stale so far, hasn't it? And it's like you're sort of watching Villa, and it's like, we don't really have any ideas. Like who's going to create something here, or who's going to have a go, or who's going to take a risk? We haven't really seen that so far. So hopefully, with a couple of new players and competition in those forward areas, it will liven us up a bit.
Because Unai Emery, we're not used to that really. We've seen something good on him. He's probably the lowest point we've been with Unai Emery. The thing is, though, I think we need to back him still. Because I done some ridiculous things on our ex, just saying Emery out and all that.
Nah, that's your classic social media, though, isn't it? We see lots of rubbish on there from faceless accounts that just want to create a bit of a Twitter storm or just want a few interactions or stuff like that. But I think you'll get the core realistic fans are actually, you know, like go to games and don't just tweet absolute nonsense online. They know that there's no better manager for us to have than Unai Emery. And we've been through tricky spells before under Emery. I think back to sort of the start of 2024, sort of February time when we lost at home to Man City, Arsenal, we lost to Leicester as well, where it wasn't great, lost three games in a row, and then we went on an unbelievable run of form. So I have absolutely no doubt this season that things will pick up, we'll be up there in the European spaces, and three games doesn't define a season. Absolutely. That's just nonsense. We'll put some unbelievable form together at some point this season because that's what we do. And hopefully we can just get Europe again. I know they want to get Champions League and I'd love that as well. But just being in Europe is the best and go far in some cup competitions. That would be nice.
You can just glove at the windows over. It's PSR and SCR. There's a lot of negativity and a lot of uncertainty, I think.
Yeah, spot on.
I'm just glad it's over.
Exactly. And it felt like it's gone on for ages, hasn't it? The transfer window. It's sort of it's been like 3 months of just uncertainty and talking about finances and accountancy and who's paying what percentage of his wages, or we need to cut wages, or we need to raise money from somewhere, even though we've already sold loads of players. It's just that uncertainty is just gone now, and it's just going to be nice to just watch the football, think about the football, talk about the football, and just not have to worry about money and finances. That'll be nice.
It's good that Liverpool are sort of buying everyone. They've got exactly the words. The thing is, they don't do anything.
Yeah, and they've spent...
No one scrutinises them.
They've spent, nearly £500 million? Like, it's nuts. And then we get... Obviously, it's to do with revenues, but just in comparison, we get £40 million pure profit for Jacob Ramsey, and we can't spend it. It's bizarre.
Well, that's very much. I really enjoyed this chat. I'm just going to see any comments. Thank you to everyone tuning in on tonight's into the episode. Just want to check if we've got any comments today. Yes, we've got Michael Huggins. So what was the most difficult game?
What's the most difficult game away to attend?
What were the issues?
It's quite often the European games. So, especially obviously the away from home, it's different everywhere. But you'll often be in that city centre or town centre, and then the club will put buses on for you to get on, which take you to the ground, because often the grounds are 10 minutes out of the city centre. Yeah. So they'll put buses on for you. But quite often they don't put enough buses on, or they're late, or they take a third of the supporters back and then you're waiting an hour for them to come back. So specifically, I remember Legia Warsaw away. I think that was the first away European game we had proper. Obviously, we had Hibs as well. But in the Conference League, Legia Warsaw, after the game, we were waiting in a pitch black street, really narrow street, 2,000-3,000 Villa fans next to a river. Couldn't see anything. All you could see was massive gates in front of you, and then Polish riot police with visors on, all about 7 foot tall. They weren't budging, and there was loads of them all bunched together. So it's okay, what's the plan here? And then three buses rock up, and it's okay, we need to rush on these, because God knows how long it's going to take for them to come back. So then there's a rush and the police are saying, calm down. But we're not going to be calm because we need to get back at a reasonable hour. So everybody's rushing to get on a bus. So that's the sort of vibe after every European game. It was similar at Bruges as well. We were sort of camped in a car park for the best part of an hour. Three buses rock up and it's an absolute surge to get on these buses. You've got a massive water cannon vehicle just there with its water cannon pointing at the fans and making weird noises, and we're well behaved, and we just stood there what's going on here, just waiting. It's pitch black, you're tired, sometimes it's freezing cold, and it's we just want to get back. And if you put enough buses on, it would be absolutely fine. It's sometimes obviously they've got to hold us back sometimes, because it can get toxic and hostile, but just put enough buses on and we'll be okay. But it's normally after European games where it's...
I think thoughts and planning needs to go more into it, I think.
Yeah, and I just don't think they... Like you said, there's no forward planning. Just put enough buses on and it'll be sweet. Three buses for 2,000 people. It's just silly.
Well, I think the parking is difficult at the park. It's a real struggle.
Yeah, definitely.
I hope you don't think about it. Increase the capacity. Also, they've got to think about the surrounding areas as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's trains and buses, and that's not particularly great at Villa Park. We'll see what happens with Witten Station, because they're doing a bit of work there, aren't they? So hopefully that helps the train flow. But sometimes it's not even Villa's fault if West Midlands trains are terrible, which they often are, and there's not enough staff, or something's gone wrong, or something's broken. It's going to be a bit of a faff. So hopefully when the stadium is expanded, it will go smoothly, fingers crossed.
Well, thank you, Max. I really enjoyed this episode.
Yeah, me too, Chad. You know what? It's the first time we've spoken, isn't it, mate? And I think you're an absolute inspiration. What an absolute legend you are, mate. And I really, really appreciate you getting me on, mate. So anytime you want to have a chat again, it'll be an absolute honour, Chad. Yeah. Top man. Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I really appreciate your time. I was going to say, Max, what did you say? Can you spread the word about my podcast?
100%, Chad. Are you going to put like a tweet out or something like that, or an Instagram post?
I'll tweet it, yeah.
Absolutely, mate. I'll share that. Not a problem at all.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for watching. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to subscribe. Make sure to smash the likes. Try and get as many as we can on this episode. Also, make sure to let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Also, make sure to share on your socials. Also, if you're listening to the audio, make sure to leave us a good review. That always helps. Well, thank you, Max, for your time.
All good. Up the Villa.
I'm going to wrap up this episode. With Villa forever, as always. And up the Villa.
Up the Villa.